warden?
That's true, Mr. Warden, but I'm subject. You'll make me get there, I hope.
But it's just to you, Warden. Put in the Bible for you to be in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. A familiar passage to, Christian in this chapter. You've heard it probably preached a number of times. You've heard some words spoken at the Lord's Supper about this passage. We're going to take a look at it this morning. And I think it's a beautiful picture of sacrifice of our Savior on the Lord, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross. And I think it's interesting, you know, God will test the faith of people. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior, God will test you. He kept me. And Abraham, in this passage, went through an incredible test. Well, we're going to take a look at that, but there's also many more things that we're going to look at in this passage besides that. But we'll start reading the verse 1, and we'll go through verse 14, Genesis 22. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, to thy brother, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and prayed the wood for the burnt offering, and laid her up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw him far off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I am the Lord, and go, I am the man, and go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took his fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in the order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife, and slayed his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the man, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord itself. In verse 1, we read that Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and right off the bat in verse 1. It says that God wanted to test Abraham, or better words, Abraham. And we might be wondering, well, what did God test you with Abraham? Well, God tested his faith. God will test our faith. He certainly tested Abraham's faith in his passage, and no doubt about that. But you know, as believers, as Christians, God, at some point in our lives, and many points in our lives, possibly, He will test our faith. And He will do this in order to, strengthen our faith. He will allow trials and burdens and problems to come into our lives. But it's only for we reprimand that, not just for Christ. If you're this morning, you know the Lord Jesus, yet nothing that happens in our lives except by the hand of God. There are no accidents in your life, my life. And with Abraham here, God is going to test Abraham, and that's one of the things that we're going to look at this morning. And in this particular case in verse 2, God
gave Abraham his order in verse 2. He said, Abraham, take your son Isaac to you, love. That word love here used in verse 2 is the first time in Scripture that love is mentioned in the Bible. Here in relation Abraham loving his son Isaac. But you take your son Isaac, you go to Mount Moriah, and you're going to offer him there for it as a first offering up on one of the mountains when you get there. Now, Mount Moriah is a near the location of Solomon's Temple. I'm not exactly sure how far away from it Abraham was, but in this particular case, he's very close to where Solomon's Temple was going to be built someday. Now, I think it's interesting to take a look at the point of view of this passage that we're looking at this morning, and it's that. You recall in Psalm 69 and Isaiah 53, in Psalm 42, that these two requires Calvary meant to occur. In Genesis 42, we see what Calvary meant in the Bible. So let's keep that in mind as we study this chapter. And most of the message this morning is going to be looked at from the point of view of Abraham and God the Father and his son. So we see in verse 2 that God gave Abraham his order to go to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son Isaac as a burnt offering. So in verse 3, we see that Abraham founded up his donkey, he cut the wood for the burnt offering, he took two of his servants, his young men, and they started on the journey to Mount Moriah. And in verse 4, we see that on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. This journey that Abraham and his son and two servants took, it took 3 days for him to get there. Now, I think what was going on here is that in the daytime in the morning, they would wake up and just get their things together, and they would journey as far as they could in the morning, and at night they would camp and sleep until the next morning. You'd get up and do the whole thing over. And it took them 3 days to get there. You know, I would say, what was going on in Abraham's mind during these 3 days? Quality that we're looking at this morning, and it's that. You recall in Psalm 69 and Isaiah 53, in Psalm 42, that these two requires Calvary meant to occur. In Genesis 42, we see what Calvary meant in the Bible. So let's keep that in mind as we study this chapter. And most of the message this morning is going to be looked at from the point of view of Abraham and God the Father and his son. So we see in verse 2 that God gave Abraham his order to go to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son Isaac as a burnt offering. So in verse 3, we see that Abraham founded up his donkey, he cut the wood for the burnt offering, he took two of his servants, his young men, and they started on the journey to Mount Moriah. And in verse 4, we see that on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. This journey that Abraham and his son and two servants took, it took 3 days for him to get there. Now, I think what was going on here is that in the daytime, in the morning, they would wake up and just get their things together, and they would journey as far as they could in the morning, and at night, they would camp and sleep until the next morning. You'd get up and do the whole thing over. And it took them 3 days to get there. You know, I would say, what was going on in Abraham's mind during these 3 days? What was he thinking about? I'm sure he was thinking about Isaac. He was thinking about that. God gave me an order. He gave me a command that I'm supposed to sacrifice my own son on the altar as a burnt offering. And you don't know as the scriptures are silent about what Abraham, what thoughts were going through his mind and through his heart. You can only speculate. But Abraham spent those 3 days, I'm sure, thinking about what he was going to do. And if he song about probably the fact that his son Isaac may die, and he may be the one who calls it his death. His own father.
This was a very sobering and serious 3 days for Abraham, I'm sure. And we see further in verse 5, in verse 5, it says that, Abraham told his servant, in verse 5, you can say here with the donkey, me and Isaac, we're gonna go and worship, and then we'll come back to you again, in verse 5. If you see that word worship there, Abraham's intention was to worship the Lord. Look to the Lord. But we also see something in verse 5 that's interesting too. He says that me and the Lord will come again to you. What that means is that Abraham believed that he and Isaac would return to his presence after they got through with that sacrifice on Mount Moriah. Isn't it? I wonder what was going through Abraham's mind at that particular time. That he would say, me and Isaac, we're going to come back to you. Stay here. You stay here, you wait. And we, that is me and my son Isaac, will come back. And we'll see exactly what he was, what Abraham was thinking in there in just a few minutes. So we see in verse 6 that Abraham, he took the wood, and he put the burnt offering, he laid it on the back of the shoulders of his son Isaac. He put a lot of wood in his head. But Isaac was young and strong, and he could carry it. And he took the fire, and it was probably a torch, more like they were, was the fire. And we see that Abraham took the knife. He had to take the knife because in order to perform the sacrifice, the sacrifice had to die. Blood had to be shed. That's why Abraham took the knife. And it says, verse 6, they approached them together, went up the mountain. Abraham and Isaac went up the mountain, together, and Isaac was carrying the wood. Another question came into my mind. What was going on in Abraham's mind as he saw Isaac carry that wood for the burnt offering? I wonder what Abraham was thinking. What was going on? He thought about his son. It reminded me of that passage in the scriptures that, when Paul and Cotton were in the Gospel of Matthew, about the Lord Jesus Christ. What was going on in the mind of God the Father as he saw his son carry that heavy, heavy cross up to Mount Calvary? What was going on in his mind? In verse 7, we see that Isaac by this time could tell that there was not going to be a lamb sacrificed on the altar. And he couldn't see a lamb. And his father did bring one with him. And in verse 7, he said, my father, he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? You see, in Isaac's mind, there had to be an offering, usually a lamb, a baby sheep. There had to be an offering made. I mean, if you have a burnt offering, there had to be an animal sacrifice there. Its blood had to be shed. And Isaac assumed that his father was going to kill him. That would be accepted practice that God would accept. You see? And, Isaac notes that, he notes that those sacrifices, he says that, Father, there's a lamb that will claim it. If we can fast forward thousands of years ago, if we believe here in Mount Moriah in Genesis 22, and we go into the New Testament times of when, the Lord Jesus Christ was alive in John chapter 1, we call. And he asked the same question. Where is the plan for the burnt offering? Where is the Lord? You didn't called of God. Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. We see that the Lamb was none other than our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb of God. He was the one who was going to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. The Lamb had been provided for that sacrifice. And it was our Savior. He was the Lamb of God. He was the sacrifice for our sins. He should have been us on that cross. He should have been you and me on that cross. But it was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross for our sins. I think. And those of you who are here this morning, and you made that decision in your life, you believe and trust that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you say, and you know that God has given all your sin based on the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, and you have eternal life in heaven someday that you're looking forward to. But there may be somebody here this morning who hasn't made that decision yet to believe in Jesus Christ. My friend, let me tell you that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He died on that cross for you. For you and you. He wants you to admit to God that you are a sinner before God. He wants you to bow before Him and repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And at that point in time, God will give all your sins, and He will give you eternal life. As it says in Acts chapter 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's what it says in the Word of God. And Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is the one who paid the penalty for your sins on the cross of Calvary. He's the one who did. He's the one who loves you so much. He's the one who cares you so much. He's willing to sacrifice his own life on the cross. So, in the first case, we see Abraham respond to his son Isaac. When Isaac said, "Where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Verse 8, Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for him." But I think it's interesting here, Paul, with a question, and a question arose in my mind. You know, Abraham believed God that He would provide a lamb. He didn't know how He would do it. He didn't know how good He would do it. He didn't know where He would do it. But Abraham believed that God was going to provide a sacrifice, a lamb, for the burnt offering. And one of the conclusions that we have to reach, and go back to verse 5 here, and it says in the end of verse 5 that me and Isaac will come again to you. We call that in verse 5. And the fact that Abraham knew that God was going to provide a sacrifice, a lamb for the burnt offering, well, what did Abraham believe exactly about that? We see Abraham believe that God could and would raise Isaac from the dead. Abraham believed that he took that knife and he plunged it into his son Isaac and killed him. Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. He believed. And you may say, "Well, wait a minute, that's not in that theory, but how do you know Abraham believed that?" Look at Hebrews. believe that or not, but it is. You know, he believes it. And he exercises that. That's incredible. Okay. Heaven's Paul is in the face. Now, you know, when we undergo testing, and we will, when we undergo trials, and we will, if God allows burdens and problems to come into our lives, and he does, during that time, brother, sister, Christ, we need to have faith. We need to have faith. Not in ourselves, not in our family members, not in our good friends. We need to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God, during these times. You know, some of you are undergoing incredible trials right now. That God could be testing your faith right now. You may have some inherent burdens that you don't know how to deal with right now. It takes faith. It takes faith. We must exercise faith in God. We must have the faith of Abraham in our trials and our testing coming to our lives. That our dependence is on the Lord himself. We always look to him. We always look to him. During our trial, he said, that's what Abraham is. That's what Abraham. He looked to the Lord God during this time. And Abraham had the faith that God is going to raise him. If I kill my son, God is going to raise him back up again. I know that. I know it. That's what Abraham is. That's faith, folks. So we see that in verse 9, Abraham prepares the altar for sacrifice. He got the altar ready. He put wood under the water. He had to tie up his son Isaac. He put him on the altar, laid him on the wood. I wonder what was going through the mind of Abraham as he prepared to sacrifice his son. What was he thinking? You know, if I had a son, and evil, wicked men took my son and killed him in prison and took him around the whole country and knocked him down with him. This person abused my son. You know, I was never allowed that. I was never taught that. I was never allowed to look at evil men, take my son, and then this person abused my son. But God didn't kill me. God allowed his son to do all the preaching, the searching, the speaking. God allowed his son to do that. I wonder what was going through the minds of God's father. As those evil, wicked men took his head of the blood, stretching from his mother. What was going through this? What was his mind's father? Because evil wicked men, that son of a thorn, mashed it down from his knee. The thorn was so sharp that blood streamed from down his face. What was going through the mind of God the Father? As a wicked evil man took his son and mocked him and made fun of him and ridiculed him, took a scarlet robe and put it on his face, bowed down and mocked and ridiculed him. What was the mind of God the Father? What was his mind of Father when he saw his son, as I mentioned earlier, take that heavy cross up to Mount Calvary? What was going through the mind of the father as he saw his son standing over on the cross and Roman soldiers taking his pipe and nailing him into his hands and his feet? What was going through the mind of the father as he saw his son there on the cross in pain, in agony, in anguish? what was going through the mind of the Father when he heard me, my God, my God, my Jesus. What was going through the mind of the Father? What was going through the mind of the Father when he had to literally, not figuratively, but literally, punish his son as he hung there on the cross for our sins, that the wrath and anger of God poured out on his own son as he hung there on the cross, dying for our sins? What was going to do the mind of God? We think about these things and we look at verse 10 and we see what was going through the mind of Abraham as he took that knife up and he was getting ready to plunge it into his son Isaac. What was going through the mind of Abraham as he stood there with that knife in the air, getting ready to kill his own son and sacrifice? What was going through his mind? But we see this verse 11. Praise the Lord for verse 11. We see in verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine own son. God looked down upon Abraham as he fell that knife in the air. Then he plunged into his son's house. And he said, Abraham, don't do it. Don't do it. Because I understand now that you fear God. You fear God. You know, I'm thinking too at that point in time when Abraham raised that knife, that was the height, that was the zenith point. On the high point of the test that God was allowing Abraham to go through. At that point in time, that was the high point of the test right there. When that knife, when he held that knife in his hand, getting ready to plunge it into his son Isaac. But God didn't allow him to do that. He didn't allow him to do that. He said that, I know now that you fear God, and you are not willing to withhold your son from me. Interesting, don't you think? The parallel there in verse 12. You know, Abraham's not willing to, even with his sacrifice his son, he was willing to allow the sacrifice, but for his son, he's not sure of killing him. But God didn't stop his son from being offered as a sacrifice, did he? God's father loved his son. Dear, more than you and I could ever know. But he allowed his son, Jesus Christ, to be made a sacrifice for us. For our sins. For your sins. God was willing to do that for us. And I think that you know here that Abraham was willing to go all the way in obedience to God. All the way in obedience to God. You know, that's just what faith is going to be part of you. For him to raise that knife and get it and bring the plunge into his son. Now, the text doesn't say it, but could there be doubt in Abraham's mind? You think that he'd be saying, well, wait a minute, I'm not killing my son here. I don't want to do that. You think those thoughts went in there? You don't know because that's really not true. But Abraham was willing to give his son for the war. He was willing to make him sacrifice. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord and our Savior, he was willing. He was willing. He didn't hesitate to come into this world, to go to a cross, and be a sacrifice for our sins. He voluntarily and willingly laid down his life for me. on that cross. And we see here presented in this passage that beautiful, we see a beautiful framework of how God would test Abraham and allow Abraham to kill his son, and as a beautiful picture, a type of shadow of the sacrifice of God's son on the cross for our sins. How lovely that is. Some critics of the Bible, some critics of Christians who say, I've heard Satan, and that's me. You know, I think if God will allow Abraham to kill his own son, that would mean and cruel of God to do that. What? My response to him was, God never had the intention of letting Abraham kill his own son. Before he did that. You know, if God allowed a kill his son, plunge that mind into him, and God did not resurrect Isaac from the dead, that would be cruel. That would be genius. But God didn't do that, did he? In the first place, he didn't allow Abraham to kill his son. Even if God allowed Abraham to kill his son, he would have raised Isaac back up again. Abraham believed that. I believe that. But more important, Abel did believe that. He knew God was going to raise Isaac back up.
Yeah.
You know, we have a merciful gracious God, though. And I think, you know, that this test that Abraham went through, I'm sure maybe you look back on it later, or the time you had left, and then you learned that test. Maybe God has a reason for allowing Abraham to go through this test. You know, we have testing, we have trials. God allows us to go through testing and trial for a reason. It may seem incomprehensible to us. It may seem, well, I don't understand this. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my family? Why is this happening to my best friend? I don't understand this. Why would God allow these things? But as I said before, brother, sister, take faith to believe that God has that for you and for me. And I know that, and again, you know, we go back to the first of the problems and the trials and the burdens that we face in our own lives, and we can see these things happening right before our eyes. And we're thinking, man, I tell you what, this is incredible. What am I going to do? It takes faith. I thought that at that time should immediately go to the fact that God has prepared this trial for me. God has put me in this position. God has allowed this unpleasant thing to happen in my life for a reason. And it takes faith to believe that. I tell you what, Abraham, he had incredible faith. I'm amazed. Don't ask me if I would have faith like that, because I doubt. But Abraham, this man of God, he had faith in the Lord God. That even if he closed that mind into Isaac, that God would raise him back from the dead. And see verse 13. It says in verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram calling a fish by his horns. And Abraham witnessed the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. When Abraham saw that ram in that fish, do you think he was relieved? You think he went to that ram and gave him a big hug? But you know, God's always gracious, isn't he? He's always gracious. He didn't leave Abraham he provided sacrifice. He provided a ram for the poor for an offering. So God answered Isaac's question. Well, Father, where is the ram for the burnt offering? God provided for it. Provided for one in verse 13 and 6. And see there that God is gracious and merciful Lord Jesus wants to forgive your sins if you really die.
He wants to.
He wants to forgive your sins more than all the people in this auditorium put together.
He wants to forgive your sins.
He wants it so much. But it, what will have to take place is you must come to Him. You must come to Him. And believe, trust
in Jesus Christ.
He's provided a foundation for you. His Son has already died on the cross.
Okay.
There's nothing more for you to do. Nothing more for you to do. All you have to do is come to Jesus Christ. And say, Lord, I believe in you. Here's my. And I hope you make that decision this morning as you say. So we see in verse 13 that God provided a sacrifice for Abraham, verse 13. In verse 14, it says that Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That literally means the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And the Lord did provide for Abraham, didn't he? So wonderful, so deep, great. And let's not forget Isaac. You know, he was tied up on the altar, and I'm sure that, I just saw that random thing. I think he was released, didn't he? You know? But we see that, Isaac was obedient to the point of death, wasn't he? He was willing to obey his father, Abraham, and allow himself tied up, put on that altar. Now, what did what was going through Isaac's mind as he saw his father raise that knife up? Maybe he didn't see that. But something was going through his mind and his heart. But this God is merciful and gracious. He's bigger than us. He's bigger than us. But God will never spare his own. For us. God is merciful and gracious to us. He wants us to believe in his Son, to accept him, to trust him, to know that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is our Savior. That he was the Lamb of God. That he was the sacrifice for us. And as I said forth earlier, you know, when Jesus was hanging on that cross, God separated himself, His Son, turned his back on his own Son on the cross, offered no help at all, none. As a matter of fact, in this opposite place, God punished the Lord Jesus as he was hanging there on that cross for your sins, for mine. And Jesus was willing to make that sacrifice, my dear friend, because he loves you. He loves you. That's why he went to that cross and died. He loves you. He loves you. And he wants to save you. I hope you come in and believe in him today. Well, that's the end of the message. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heaven, thank you for so much for this beautiful picture of the sacrifice of your Son on the cross for our sins. Thank you that you made it clear and plain to our hearts, Father, this morning. And Lord, we know that possibly there may be somebody here who doesn't love you yet, who hasn't made that decision to trust you as their Savior. We pray, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to those hearts. You haven't touched me yet, and you would stick to their heart in a real and powerful way and bring that person to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. We pray. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the instruction that you've given us in this beautiful passage. We give you all the glory, Father. We give you the credit.